Good evening.
Who's this guy?
Serenity Church! Woo! Do not adjust your sets. It is not out of focus. I do have shoes on. I am not John Featherston.
What?
I am not Shay Hightower.
That hair's a little short.
I am definitely not Aunt Lori. My name is David Christensen, and I'm a grateful overcomer.
Amen.
Hi, David.
For those of you that don't know me, I've been one of those churchgoers for many, many years. I ran a church from my grandmother's house down a dirt road and sat on the first pew and looked up at this man that looked 9 foot tall every Sunday morning. And I thought that's what all preachers were like. I started going to Sunday school when I was in middle school and have never stopped, even when I became a teacher. Many people thought for years David should go into the ministry.
Amen.
On my walk to Emmaus on my fourth day, and many of you know what I'm talking about, God answered that argument question that we had for years, whether I should do that or not. And the words were plain as day, just be David. And I had to ask for some clarification, of course, because I'm not a very smart man. And I asked God, so you mean I need to be the best lay person that I can be? Yes, David. I can still wear tie-dye shirts. Yes, David.
Amen.
I can still talk to people about you. Yes.
Yes.
For sure. And so I don't apologize because I'm not John Featherston, and I don't apologize because I'm not Shay, and I don't apologize for not being Stephen Romo. I apologize because I'm not good enough for God.
Amen.
I'm here tonight because John Featherston called me Wednesday night and he said, David, I'm sick and I need someone to fill in for. Of course, my first thought was, well, you got a whole bunch of preachers over at the church already. He said, no, God told me to call you.
Amen.
So here I am tonight. And to let you understand who I am, Paul described me very well in the book of Corinthians. He said, I came not to baptize, but to proclaim the gospel.
Amen.
And not in eloquent speech, but in simple terms.
Amen.
That the power of the cross might not be diminished. And that's why I'm here tonight. So join with me in prayer. Gracious God, I'd ask that your spirit would be here tonight, lifting us up as we are here in this room and we are abroad through computers. The church is still together.
Amen.
And Lord, I'd ask that you would lift up these words, that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Last year we talked about the 12 steps, and we had someone speak every month on each step. And this year we're going through the promises, and we're on, let's see, July would make 7. So, promise number 7 says, we will lose interest in selfish things, and gain interest in our fellows. That's promise number seven. That's a promise. I like God's promises.
Amen.
Okay? Last week, Aunt Lori gave us the definition of selfishness. She said that we feel entitled to what we want, when we want it. Okay, I know none of us feel that. Okay, we're good? We're good. We're more worried about ourselves than other people. We focus more on our problems, real or imagined, and any of the drama that goes with them. We are confused or focused on our pain, we're focused on our needs, and we're focused on our wants because we deserve it. I started out being selfish even before I was born.
Amen.
I was scheduled to be an April Fool's baby, to be born in the first part of April. And I fooled everybody by being born before Valentine's Day in February.
Wow.
You see, I totally understand my oldest daughter's condition called FOMO. Anybody ever heard of FOMO?
Oh,
yeah.
Okay? It's the fear of missing out. I was afraid for those 6 weeks I would miss something. We would put my oldest daughter to bed. And we would go back into the living room, and just a few minutes later, we would see her peeking around the kitchen corner, checking out what was going on after we put her to bed, because she knew Mom and Dad partied after they went to bed.
Yeah.
That's the only chance we got.
I came out of my mother's womb 6 weeks early because I was afraid I was going to miss something. I believe this condition is very properly named because I think the most selfish and self-centeredness is rooted in fear. Fear has an amazing ability to convince me that what's not real is real. The more I focus on how I feel, and the thoughts inside my head, by definition, I become self-centered. Let me illustrate with these scriptures. Excuse me. The body of Christ got to me. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. Just then, a religious scholar. Okay, I laugh at that. Just to start out with, a religious scholar.
Yeah.
What makes you a religious scholar? He stood up with a question to test Jesus. He said, "Teacher, what do I need to do to get eternal life?" And Jesus answered, "What's written in God's law, and how do you interpret it?" The man said, "That you love the Lord with all your passion, with all your prayer, with all your muscle, and with all your intelligence, that you love your neighbor as well as you do yourself." Jesus said, "Good answer. Do that and you'll live." I love this one. Looking for a loophole, the scholar asked, "Define neighbor." Jesus answered by telling the story. There was once a man traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. On the way, he was attacked by robbers. They took his clothes, beat him up, and went off, leaving him half dead. Scripture says, luckily, a priest was on his way down the same road. But when he saw him, he angled across to the other side. Then a Levite showed up, and he also avoided the injured man. You see, the priest in this story represents the religious acting people. Anybody know any of those? The ones that walk, that talk the talk and don't walk the walk. Anybody here know anybody that looks like that? Okay. The priest went out of his way to avoid the man because, as a priest, and we can only assume he was a Jewish priest, he didn't want to make himself unclean by associating with anybody that might have had blood on him. He was likely on his way to perform priestly duties, and he didn't want to soil himself, which would require him to go back and do more religious washings. Not only did he go around the guy, he crossed over to the other side of the road, not wanting to have anything to do his selfish ways. Now, Levi, an expert in the law, came by, completely ignored what Jesus had just said about the law, to love God and love your neighbor. He had no compassion for the man and didn't want to help him. Maybe he thought the robbers are still in the area and I would be next. Maybe it was the Sabbath and he didn't want to break one of the laws. Don't know. But neither guy stopped and helped the beaten up man. Because they were worried about who? Self. It's all about me. Right? What will I get out of it? Will it make me feel good? Will I be inconvenienced? Their selfishness, I feel, was all about fear. What would happen if I get involved? Anybody here ever go through that stage? It's all about me. Anybody know a preacher that... No, never mind.
Definitely not daily.
Oh, definitely not daily.
Going through school, you live the life of fear of not being accepted. Of not fitting in. I understand not fitting in. You see, when I went through school, I didn't dress like this. It wasn't this cool. It was cool. You see, because my mom made my clothes.
Oh, bless your heart.
She would ask every summer, what do you want me to make? And I would go into my room, and I would pull out an Elvis outfit.
Yeah.
I would go to my mom and I'd say, see this one with the split down the front and the conchos and the things hanging off? And I said, that's what I want to look like. And she would make it. For real. I still got them. Uh-huh. I still got those clothes. You want to talk about not fitting in? God was using that to toughen me up. Because someday he knew I was going to be wearing tie-dye 24/7. I knew about this. Doing things that would get attention. Good or bad. But it was still attention. Luckily those days are over. Right? Now you can do whatever you want to. You can buy the best car because according to the ad, you deserve it. Or how about the biggest house? You know, because when you're single, you always need a 5-bedroom house just to keep up with the Joneses, right? we live by the lake, so you know you gotta have a boat.
Oh, yeah.
Even your shampoo. Because you gotta have the right shampoo so you can be all you can be. Right? There's a lot of yous in those statements. Did you notice that? Didn't this promise say we're going to give up those selfish things? You see, I consider myself very lucky. I have a mother and a grandmother that taught me it's not about you.
Right.
See, they gave me scriptures like Romans 12:3 that said, by the grace given me, I tell you not to think too highly of yourself. Wow. Well, that knocked me down right off the table right there. Don't think too highly of yourself. Okay. And then that other one in Luke that said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Dang it.
I'm starting to catch on.
Yeah.
So in a very early part of my life, I learned the first part of the promise. We will lose selfish interest. It's not about me. It really isn't. And I have enough. Have you figured out what enough is yet? I have enough. I thought I was a hoarder until I watched the show. I thought I had things everywhere in my house until I watched the show. I guess I'm not near a hoarder because my mama taught me enough is enough. Now let me tell you the coolest part about this promise.
Oh, there it is.
And that's the second part. That's the second part. Most definitely my mother and my grandmother taught me that it wasn't about me. They taught me very early in my life. They would say, each and every day, in some kind of way, we are to stoop and wash the feet of each and every person that we meet. You know the story? Jesus walks into the upper room and all 12 disciples walk right past that pitcher of water. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the fairest of 2,000, the Lily of the Valley, the bright morning star, he that's called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, stripped down to his underwear and washed the disciples' feet, including Peter, who would deny him, and Judas Iscariot, who would betray him. So there's not anybody out there that is not worthy of me washing their feet. The discipline of working the steps and applying the principles to our lives teach us how to be selfless in our service to others. So what does it mean to be of service? It's sacrificing our immediate needs and wants to serve a greater purpose. Let me say that again. It's sacrificing our immediate needs and wants in order to serve a greater purpose. Every time I do this, no exception, I forget about myself, my petty, annoying, grumpy old dog. One of the best and probably hardest ways to be of service is to go out of our way for others with no expectation. Someone say, no expectation.
No expectation.
None.
No acknowledgement. Someone say, no acknowledgement.
No acknowledgement.
Someone say, no reward.
No reward.
To go out of our way with no expectation. No acknowledgement. No reward. Remember that priest and Levi? Yeah. Ain't gonna happen. As I grew in my faith and I studied the Bible, the why became very apparent. You see, because I was taught that you did for others. I knew that. And then I became a teenager. And I had to ask, why am I doing it? Why? So I had to start learning. Why should I care about anybody but me? The world says take care of number one. You know, the world is right. But the only problem is they haven't figured out who number one is yet.
Amen.
Christ is number one, and if I make sure that my relationship with number one is correct, then everything else falls in place. Have you heard that yet?
Amen. Amen.
The world says take care of number one. We just need to figure out who number one is. We need to figure that out. The Bible says in Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2, it says, follow God's example. Well, that's a good place to start. Okay? Now I'm starting to figure out the why. Why am I doing this? Follow God's example in everything you do just as much. Love children, imitate their fathers. Be full of love for others, following the example of Christ who loved you and gave himself to God as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Did you hear that? Did you hear the why? Love for others. Not just do, but love others. Why? Because Christ loved me, he loved you, we should love each other. Follow the example of Christ. Well, let's see how that works. Let's find some examples of Christ here for a second here. Let's see. Son of God, cushy job in heaven, being worshipped and adored all the time by angels. Sounds pretty good, right? Sacrificing for others.
Ow.
He left that. He left that cushy gig to come down here. To become human. Giving up all those luxuries so we can learn from him and get it right in our relationship with Dad. At the age of about 30, working in Dad's carpenter shop, making a good living in the big metroplex of Nazareth. No problem, no drama, get up in the morning, go make a chair or make a table, eat dinner and go back to bed. No biggie, right? Sacrifice for others. Decides to leave the comforts of home and venture out. Gather 12 guys he don't even know. Said, you're now going to be my friend. And changes the world with his teaching and healing. Because he thought about others.
Amen.
Fast forward 3 years. In the beautiful Garden of Gethsemane, knowing he would be beaten and killed the next day, prays to his Father for a plan B. It says in Luke 22, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me.
Yep.
You know, I've seen that. Kind of know what's getting ready to happen. And you know, if there's another way, God, I'd really like to talk about that right now. Oh, see, David, there's that selfishness. I did tell you that Jesus was 100% human. How would you have felt right then? Be honest.
Run.
If you knew what was going to happen the next day. But, you see what the last part of the verse says. Yet, not my will, but yours will be done.
Amen.
You see, he looked all the way down through his, all the way down through a spread out church in 2020 and made the conscious decision to go through the horror that was getting ready to happen. Sacrifice, brothers, we're supposed to follow the example of Christ. But wait, there's more. The next day, hanging on a cross. Instead of thinking about all the horrible things he had just been through, instead of thinking all the pain that those people had put me through and how to get back at them, he raises it and simply and plainly asks, Father, forgive me. They don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellow man.
Amen.
Amen.
Now back to our story. A Samaritan who was on a journey came to where the man was. But when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. The Samaritan went to him and bandaged his wounds, tended them with oil and wine. Then he placed the wounded man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took 2 full days' wages and gave them to the innkeeper. He said, take care of him, and when I return, I will pay you back with any additional cost. And Jesus asked, what do you think? Which one of these three was a neighbor to the man who encountered thieves? The legal expert said, the one who demonstrated compassion toward him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Mm. Fear is selfish. Love is the Lord. Love will always triumph over fear. A couple weeks ago, I preached at Christ Community Church. Now, we have a running joke going over there because no one ever, not even my wife, knows what I'm going to preach on. I don't let anybody see my sermon beforehand. And their music always goes right along with
right.
my sermon.
Right.
I am no longer a slave to fear.
Amen.
I am a child of God.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. gracious God, we thank you for these words. We thank you for understanding that we are human and that we do get fearful. And we do have that mindset of it's all about us. Lord, I'm asking, you said to have the mind of Christ. And Lord, I'm asking for your Spirit to change our minds. To change that fear to love. That we can show each other the same love that you showed us when you came. Be with us. Guide and direct us to be the disciples you would have us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.